today, and we're really happy that you're here. Now, before we begin my preaching, let's everybody stand back up if you possibly can. Let's sing, God is so good. Is He good? Yes. Let's everybody sing, God is so good. God. We're delighted that you're here today. Welcome all of you that are visiting. And we're glad that we can come together on the first day of the week, that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Surely sorry about Sue's passing this morning. Remember to pray for this dear family. And she could not get well. And bless her heart, she's gone on to be with the Lord. Next Sunday, the good Lord willing, we're going to begin a meeting. I will be out with the Piney Grove, Al, the Piney Grove Church next week, and a meeting starting on Sunday morning, going through Wednesday night. We ask you to pray for us in that effort. Can you imagine the congregation inviting an 83-year-old man to come for a gospel meeting? Well, anyway, I look forward to going out there. I believe, Al, you'll be on Sunday morning here preaching, and we're surely praying that God will bless us all in the service of the kingdom. Have you ever had a problem when you think that God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it? Well, that's the story that we have before us today. There was a man whose name was Moses, and God, up to this point, He's already trying to get Moses to do something that God has wanted Moses to do. But guess what? Moses did not want to do it. All right, let's look at this. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" And then the Lord said to him, listen to what the Lord said, "What is that in your hand?" That's our sermon. "What is that in your hand?" Well, he said, "A staff," he replied. And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." I hope the Lord never would test me that way. I'm scared to death of snakes. Can you imagine having a staff in your hand, throwing it down on the ground? Moses threw it on the ground and became a snake. No wonder the Bible says Moses ran from that thing. I would have run too. Run from it, he did. And then the Lord said, "Of all things, reach out your hand and take it by the tail." Boy, doesn't that take a lot of faith. This serpent, this snake. And now the Lord's saying, "Now, reach out, take it by its tail." Well, one thing you said about Moses, he does what the Lord tells him to do. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Wow! Thus the Lord said. So, this is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, it's a real interesting thing that God reminds him of them, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. You have had someone whom has appeared, yes, to Abraham, yes, to the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And then the Lord said, here's something else interesting. Put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. And now, he said, put it back into your cloak. And he said, so Moses put his hand back into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored and the rest of his flesh. Friends, Moses and God is working together now. And what's in your hand? He had something there, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. What's in your hand? Let me suggest to you then. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second one. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent. Moses, what's wrong with you? God wants you to do something. He has convinced you already, surely, that He'll be with you. Look what He's asked you to do. And still, Moses won't do it. He puts it off. Look what he said. I don't speak very well. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. What's he thinking? I got to get out of this somehow. Look what the Bible says. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Friends, he was to take his staff. Exodus 4:17. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform signs with it. That's important. You make sure you have your staff. Look what the Bible says in Exodus 4, verse 20. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and headed back to Egypt. But, don't forget, he took the staff of God in his hand. Look in Exodus 7, verse 9. When Pharaoh tells you, perform a miracle, you're to say to Aaron, take your staff, Aaron, and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a serpent. The staff. Such a thing that God said Moses was to have. In Exodus 7, verse 15, go to Pharaoh in the morning as you see him walking out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him. Take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. You make sure you have that staff. It was real interesting when you go back to each one of these verses and then you notice what the Bible says that he did with that staff. Did you know with regards to the plagues of Egypt? It was that staff. It was so important. Exodus 7, verses 10 and verse 15. Dividing the Red Sea? What did God say that he was to do with that staff? Put it down with your hands. And that staff that he used to divide. At one occasion, God said the people were murmuring because they did not have water. And Moses took his staff, and he smote the rock. What came out of the rock? It was water. Later on, he's told to speak to him. He didn't do it there. And that caused a lot of difficulty in his life. You know, when you look at this simple thing, a staff like a shepherd's, maybe something, maybe 5 or 6 feet, just something that's carrying along with you to kind of help you. But that was so important. You know, when you go to the Bible, little things mean a whole lot. There was a young man, his name was David. In the book of 1 Samuel 17 and verse 40, he's going forth before a giant. What does he have in his hand? David, what is in your hand? A sling, 5 small, smooth stones. He only needed one of them to overcome the giant. A little boy. Here they are gathered, and Jesus tells his disciples to feed them. And they said, why? We don't have anything here, hardly at all. There's a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But with the blessing of Jesus, that fed them all. That's what the little boy had in his hand. There was a widow. Her name was Dorcas. She died. And when Peter came on the scene, the Bible says they were showing the coats and the garments that Dorcas used or made with a needle, that she used it with that which was in her hand. Can you imagine that? What about the woman who comes before the Lord? What is in your hand? Two mites, which make a farthing, an eighth of a cent. What did she do with it? Cast it into the treasure of the Lord. What did the Lord say? She's given more than all the rich that cast therein. Friend, let me tell you this morning, I hold before you the Bible in my hand. This is God's Word. Will we listen to it? Preachers need to study it like everybody. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. Search the Scriptures. John 5:39. But then we got to live by it. You remember how that Paul was speaking to Timothy? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Yes, every preacher, all of us, we ourselves must look at our lives, and when we sin, confess it and get it right with God, and then get up and preach what? The Word of God. What? No wonder in Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, preachers, preach the Word. What? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of. Where is it? There it is. Where? In the book. What have I got in my hand? I've got the book of God, the Bible. That's what I need to study. That's what I need to live by. And that's what I need to preach. Yes, preacher, what do you have in your hand? I'm holding the book, friends. The book that will tell you that it is the only thing that's worth knowing when a man dies. It's reported that Ben Franklin, shortly before he died, he asked for the book. And the question was asked him, what book? And here's his reply. There's only one book for a dying man. That's God's Word. I don't know how many people I've been with who were passing away. What do they want to hear? What's in my hand? What is it? The book of God. Oh, yes. Holding the book of God for both a dying. But let me suggest to you too, that's the only book that we need while we live. Live by it. Preach it, teach it, show others how to live, because it is the thing that you have in your hand, which God has given to us. You know, when you take this book in your hand, you tell people what's in it. You tell them that there is a God, and this God is a God of love, compassion, mercy, kindness, and goodness. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. Preacher, preach the Word. That which you have in your hand, let people know what to do in order to be saved. Yes. We know how sin can be forgiven. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. Then we read in Romans 5, 8 and 9, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What do you have in your hand, preacher? I have the book of God. What does the book of God say? God's Son died. God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He died for me. We need Him. And yes, He wants you. And you know, when you look in this book, it tells you exactly what you ought to do to be a Christian. Why? In Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know one thing from this book that I hold in my hand this morning. It tells everybody the same thing. Are you listening? It tells you your faith comes by reading and studying the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it's not enough just to preach it. It's not enough just to exalt it. You must believe what it says. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's what you have from the book that I hold in your hand, in my hand. Yes, that book declares to us that we are to repent. He calls upon men everywhere to repent. In Acts 17, 13-31, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I know you've got to do it. Why? It's in the book. The book that I hold you in my hand. That's what the book says in Acts 17, 30-31. Then you got to confess with your mouth. Confess what? Your faith. Faith in whom? Jesus. Who is Jesus anyway? He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Yes, He is alive. He did die so you can be saved and I can be saved. And yes, as Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What's in this book? It's here. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says clearly, without any hesitation, if you confess me, Jesus said, I'll confess you. You deny me, I'll deny you. And yes, be baptized. Why be baptized? Because this book says so. Saul was told by Ananias, as we find in Acts 22 and verse 16. You remember how he said to him? He said, now, why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Saul, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What does this book say to us when it's in our hand? It says we're to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then this book says God wants you to live faithfully. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, Paul writes in conclusion, he talks about the wonderful things about God that we can have because we're in Jesus Christ. Be thou faithful, Revelation 2, verse 10, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. If you're not faithful, this book says, you'll not get it. But if you are, you're faithful to Him, here's what you're going to get. But how do you know that? It's all in the book that I hold in my hand. Be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't you ever give up. Sue left us this morning. She's gone now into eternity. You and I will have our day. The time will come. I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he was talking about things that are priceless. My sister died last August, the 13th, my oldest sister. And I was sitting at the bar, and we were listening to the preaching, and he mentioned the fact some things are just so important to you in life. And he talked about a quilt that his mother made to him, for him. And he said, you know what? I wouldn't take anything for that quilt. About that time, my eyes caught my wife's eyes. And we looked up on above the buffet. They were stretched out on it. Under a picture frame, our names, Guy and Ann McDaniel, that was made by the hands of my sister who died last August 13th. I wouldn't take anything. You couldn't give anything to give up that piece. Why? It was made by Lydia's hands. Oh, my friend, let me ask you this morning. It tells you that what we are to do whenever we have sinned as children of God, to acknowledge it, to confess it, to just ask God to forgive us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ah, God doesn't want us to sin, but we do. And when we do, take care of it. And if it's something, publicly ask God to forgive you. Get it out of your life. He's promised that He would when you meet the terms of His forgiveness. It's in the Bible. I hold it with my hand. Moses, take the staff. Go with the staff. Make sure you have it in your hand. And thus Moses did. And he was victorious in that he was able to do God's precious will. What's in my hand this morning? Well, it's just the most wonderful book I've ever owned. It's the book of God. Doesn't make any difference how much it cost. At your funeral, the best thing that anybody can say about you or me is that we had this book, we studied it, we believed in it. We obeyed it. We lived by it. And yes, we died by it. Because we believe it. It's God's precious truth. I want you to say, Lord, I give you myself today. I want you to say, I believe what's in that book. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Yes, is your heart right with God? Make it right with God. Believe in God and obey Him. If you're subject of the invitation of Jesus Christ this morning, in any way, if we can help you and assist you, won't you come while together we stand, and as we sing, is your heart right with